If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Deuteronomy. Find it right here. Know where to take it to go to. Deuteronomy 24:9. Deuteronomy 24:9, the Bible says this: Remember what the Lord thy God did unto Miriam by the way, after that you were come forth out of Egypt. Lord, we thank you, my Father, for this day. And God, I thank you for each and every one of these young people, Lord, that have just contributed to the service, Lord. God, I pray that you just bless their lives, Lord, that you just continue to lead and guide and direct their steps, Lord, in their service for you. And God, I ask that you would help us now, Lord, come to the preaching of your word, Lord. I pray that you give us liberty, Lord. God, I ask that you give us clarity of thought, Lord, that you just bring back to our mind, Father, the things that you've shown us, Lord. And God, I ask that the Holy Spirit would just take your word, Lord, and touch our hearts, Lord, and do the work you have done here this evening, Father, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, in the book of Deuteronomy, most of y'all know this, but Moses, he's getting ready to die. He's getting ready to pass off the scene. And so what he's doing is he's giving his final words to the children of Israel. Here's that old generation we talked about this morning. They've died off the scene. Here's this new generation. They're fixing to go into the land of Canaan. And Moses is giving them some final words. And he's telling them, remember what the Lord did to Miriam. And that word remember, it means to recall, to meditate on, or to keep in mind. In the book of Deuteronomy, 14 times Moses tells the children of Israel to remember some things. And 5 of those times, he tells them this, to remember that they were bondmen or bondservants in the land of Egypt. You know what Moses didn't want them doing? He didn't want them forgetting where God brought them from. He did not want them to forget what God delivered them from. And you know what hinders our service for the Lord a lot of times? We forget what God brought us from. I mean, if we'd really look back and remember where we were at when God found us, we wouldn't think those anything too unreasonable He asked us to do. But the point I'm trying to get you to see, Moses is wanting to remember some things. And remembrance is a good way, if I could say it, it's a good way just to keep you out of trouble. When I was a kid, here's what you share all the time. You better remember what I said. Hey, you remember what happened last time you did that, don't you? And I do the same thing with my children. I mean, I'm all the time saying, you better remember what I told you. That when we remember things, it helps us. It keeps us out of trouble many times. Moses is telling this group of people that's fixing to go over, he can't go with them. He's not going, but he says, I want you to remember this. I want you to remember what God did to Miriam. Why was that important? I mean, here's a man, his dying words. Here's something that he feels is extremely important, that God felt was important for them to remember. If they're going to go on with God, you need to remember this. Failure to remember this incident, failure to keep this event fresh in their mind, will cause them to stumble and fall. And just as it was important for the children of Israel, let me tell you, it's important for us. If we're going to go on with God, you know what? The same things in the book of Deuteronomy, he was telling them to remember. We need to remember. And so what I'll look at, turn with me to Numbers chapter number 12. In Numbers 12, we have recorded the incident of what God did to Miriam. Let me just read this entire chapter. Chapter 12, verse 1 says, And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men that were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, Come out ye three into the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of a cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I the Lord will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore, then were ye afraid not to speak against my servant Moses. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not this sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one of the dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said to Moses, If her father have it spit in her face, should she not be shamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and after that, then let her be received in again. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. And afterward the people removed from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. Now, what's recorded here? Miriam was struck with leprosy because she attacked the man of God. Because she had a critical spirit towards the man of God, she got struck with leprosy. And what I want to look at for a few minutes tonight, I want to look at the dangers of a critical spirit. The dangers of a critical spirit. Now, this entire thing started. It all started with Miriam and Aaron attacking Moses over the woman he'd married. And I believe Miriam was the instigator in this. And here's my reasons why. Number one, her name's mentioned first. Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses. Her name's mentioned first. And she was the one that's punished the most. And not only that, Aaron by nature, Aaron was a follower. I mean, he proved that when the children of Israel came and said, Hey, make us a God that we could serve. And he made them the golden calf. Aaron was a follower. Miriam was a leader. Do you remember when they crossed the Red Sea? She was the one that led the women in singing. And so she's the leader. He's the follower. And so I believe she was the one that had the critical spirit. And I believe she did what everybody that has a critical spirit does. They got to tell somebody. Hey, she's got a problem with something, and you know what? She can't keep it to herself. So you know what she's going to do? She's going to tell the person that's closest to her. She's going to tell Aaron. Because, you know, I mean, that's how we all are. I mean, if we see fault with something, we don't want to keep it to ourselves, do we? We want to see if anybody else sees it our way, if I could just say it. And there's several thoughts on who this woman was. A lot of writers say that it was his wife Zipporah that he came back to him. Remember when he went into Egypt, he sent his wife back, that she'd come back. And they'll argue and say that even though she was in Midian, that she was in the land of Midian when he found out that she could still be in Ethiopia. There's others that say this was a second wife, that maybe Zipporah had died. Maybe he now has two wives. Another writer I was reading, he said maybe it's just a picture of Moses as a type of Christ. That extension of being the bride to both Jews and Gentiles. I mean, you could come up with any scenario. The bottom line, if I just say it, that really wasn't the issue. They're finding fault with that. That's what they're picking out. But look at verse number 2. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. You know what their true problem was with Moses? Wasn't his wife. Hey, that was just something to get the process started. But here's their true problem. They felt they were just as important as Moses was. They wanted to be on equal with Moses. That's where they're at. They didn't like the fact Moses had a higher position. Let me tell you what the root of a critical spirit is. It all goes back to pride. That's what... They're critical. They're picking out on Moses' wife. They chose that to start with. But the root of their problem is, hey, we're not elevated to the same position Moses is. It was their pride that caused that. And see, here's a family that's greatly used to God. You don't have to turn, but Micah chapter 6, verse 4 says this. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt and redeemed thee out of the house of servants. And I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. When it came to delivering Israel God said, hey, I sent all three of them. They all three, Moses, Aaron, they all three played an important role in it. And you go back, you could just look. There's Miriam. She's the one that watched when Moses was put in that ark. She watched to see who would find him. She went and got her mother to nurse him. In Exodus 15:20, she's called a prophetess. She was the one that led the women in singing when they came out of the Red Sea. And her being Moses' sister, do you not think the women held her, exalted her very highly? I mean, she was well known. People looked up to her, if I could say it to her. And then you've got Aaron. There's Aaron, the older brother. Hey, they go down to Egypt. You know what? Moses was the man, but who was the mouthpiece? It was Aaron. And you'll even see later on, Aaron's going to become the high priest. What I want you to see, they were spiritual leaders. But I want you to notice what happened back in chapter 11. Look at chapter 11, verse number 14. This is Moses speaking. He says, I'm not able to bear all this people alone because it's too heavy for me. Here's what Moses is saying. Lord, I can't handle this. All the griping, all the complaining, everything. Lord, I can't. It's too much of a burden for me to handle by myself. And so notice what God tells him to do. Look at verse 16. And the Lord said to Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. The Lord tells Moses, I want you to find 70 men, 70 elders of the people, and I want you to bring them, and they're going to help bear the burdens. Moses, they're going to help you. He comes down, we won't read it, but you can read, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon them, and they begin to prophesy. Now here's what I'm trying to get you to see from this. Before, it was Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Now, who is it? It's Moses and those 70 elders. That position that Aaron and Miriam once had as far as leading, you know what? They're starting to fade off the scene. There's new leadership coming on, if I could say it that way. And here's what their response is. They're questioning, hey, do we not have just as much authority as Moses? Hey, are we not just as important? It's all rooted in pride. They didn't like losing their position. And you know what? A critical spirit that's rooted in pride, it always starts out as fault-finding. And if we'd be honest, we've all been guilty of it at some point. If I was in charge, I don't think I'd done it that way. Hey, Brother Allen, if I was leading this thing, and I wouldn't have chose that song to sing. You know what I'm talking about? You know why we do those things? Because it's our pride. We think we can do a better job. I mean, that's the bottom line. Somebody gets up and preaches. Boy, I don't know what I thought about that. You know why we have that attitude? Because we're prideful enough to think, hey, we can do a better job. Whether it be teaching a lesson, whether it be even driving the van, something so simple. You know what? There's always somebody that's got something to say about it. And it's all rooted, it's pride. It is our stinking pride. We think that we can do a better job. And you know what? A critical spirit is always looking for a follower. Miriam has the critical spirit. What's she doing? She finds somebody to talk to it about. Miriam felt threatened. More so than Aaron, because see, you got to remember, Moses now has a wife. She may have been the woman that everybody would look up to. You know what? Now it's Moses' wife. She's really, in her mind, she's got more to lose than anybody. So she gets Aaron stirred up over it. Hey, you find somebody that's got problems, you get a critical spirit, you know who you start seeking out? The person that's easiest to manipulate. The person that you feel like you can influence the most, that you can twist them into thinking like you do. And that's what she did with Aaron. And there's a lot of times, I can tell many times when people are asking the questions, what they're setting you up for. Now here's the difference. If I went to Bud and said, Bud, we had a good service today, didn't we? But what if I went to Bud and said, well, what do you think about service today? You know what I'm doing? I'm feeling him out to see if I can twist him. I'm feeling him out to see, hey, is he going to be thinking like I'm thinking? What do you think about the visiting preacher? What do you think about mission conference? What do you think about the whatever? Those questions many times, here's what you understand, they're setting you up. Hey, they've really got a problem with something. And it's not the preacher, it's much deeper than anything you're going to talk about. But what they're doing is they're asking you these questions to set you up to see if you have that critical spirit. Because then you do. You know what? We can go take things to the next level. Hey, they started out talking about Moses' wife, and you know what? By the next verse, you know what they're talking about? Moses just got, he's taking too much authority. Hey, we're just as important as he is. Be careful. Somebody has a critical spirit, you know what? They're going to come to you and they want you to talk. They want you to jump on board with them. A critical spirit always wants fellowship with other people that have critical spirits. You let somebody have a critical spirit and start critiquing something, and you don't get on board, and you know what? They don't want to talk to you. I mean, that's just the fact of it. You refuse to find fault with something, in your opinion, it don't matter anymore. Everybody wants to know what you had to say until you're real positive about it. You can say, "What, man, what did you think about that? Man, I thought it was great." Nobody cares what I think anymore. I mean, they're ready to just pounce on any problem, but you come along and they ask you and say, "Man, I thought it was pretty good." They don't care what you think anymore. You know why? Because you're not on the team. Hey, you're going in a different direction of what they're wanting to go in. You've got to remember, a critical spirit, it's rooted in pride. And what they want you to do, they want to talk to you. They want to get you talking. They want to get you to being critical just as they are. And then they're going to manipulate and twist that conversation to get to the root of their problem. How do you respond to it? There's the root of a critical spirit. It's pride. How do you respond to a critical spirit? Here's Moses. He's verbally attacked by his own brother and sister. And let me tell you something. You know where you're going to be criticized the most from? It's going to be from your brothers and sisters in Christ. Here's what I used to hear. You'll never be criticized as long as you don't do nothing. Here's what I found out. Do nothing, you'll still be criticized for it. When you walk through those doors, here's what you're saying. I'm open for criticism. You want to sit on the pew and not do nothing? Somebody have something to say about it. You do something, you did it the wrong way. When me and the pastor was out here shoveling snow, I told him, I said, man, you're not going to win with this. I said, because if you have service, there's going to be some people saying, his roads are too bad, we never should have had it. And I said, then if you don't have it, there's going to be some people saying, you know what, we could have had service. I don't know why the preacher called it off. You can't win. But how do you deal with it? I mean, we're all going to be criticized. How do I deal with it in a godly way? See, here's what criticism does. It brings bitterness and strife. I mean, if somebody's just being critical of everything I do, you know what I do in my flesh? I get upset. I mean, how are we going to go on as a church if it's full of bitterness and strife? How are you going to be able to have fellowship with God if there's bitterness and anger in your heart? How did Moses respond? I mean, did he lash out at him for picking on his wife? I mean, I'm pretty thick-skinned. I was blessed to have a father that taught us real quick how to be thick-skinned in life. And you know what? Criticism, really, many times, there's times or two, but for the most part, I can handle it. But, Bud, you say something about my wife, and it's a whole different story. You start criticizing my wife about something, you know what? You're going to get me stirred up real fast. You know what Moses did? He didn't say nothing. Hey, Moses, he didn't come on the scene and mention about his wife. He didn't jump up and start defending himself. He didn't jump up and say, hey, do you know who I am, that who you're talking to? Did you forget who you're talking to? He said nothing. He didn't say one word. The Bible says in verse number 3, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Meekness is not being weak or timid. You know what meekness is? I like what one writer said. He said it's power under control. Moses could control his tongue. Now it shows the frailty of the flesh that was the very thing that kept him out of the land of Canaan, was his tongue. But Moses was strong enough, he didn't say anything. And I often wonder this. Did Moses even know they were talking about him? Notice what it says. That are part of verse number 2. It says, hath he not spoken also us? And the Lord heard it. You know, we're not even told that Moses even heard what was being said. But who did hear? God did. Do you know the Lord hears everything? Do you know we wouldn't be half as bold to speak our minds and to say some of the things we do if we remembered that God's listening? Hey, we wouldn't be so quick to be critical and say those things about people and really even think those things if we just knew, if we just remembered, hey, God's listening. I mean, it doesn't say Moses heard him. Here's two people. If I could say it, they're just ripping the preacher. They're tearing the preacher down. But God heard it. Matthew 12:36 says this. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. You know what idle words are? Just empty words that don't mean nothing. How many times have we just got to talking and just said things that we didn't think nothing about? But God heard it. Man, we're so quick to speak. The Bible says be swift to hear and slow to speak. We're the exact opposite. We talk and, I mean, we're swift to talk and slow to hear. What would it do to that critical spirit that we all struggle with, that pride that brings that out of us, if we just kept in our minds remembering, hey, God's listening. Hey, everything I say, I'm going to have to answer to God for. Here's what I like about this. When God's honor was attacked, the children of Israel making the golden calf, all these things, you know who's very quick to get riled up and get angry and upset? It's Moses. But when his own character's attacked, you know what he's doing? He says nothing. But who's speaking for him? God is. Him that honoreth me, I will honor. I imagine God just saying, Moses, you've honored me time and time again. Now you're under attack. I'm going to honor you. You know how you respond to that critical spirit? The proper way you respond is you let God fight that battle. Amen. I mean, it's that simple. That's all you have to do. And the problem we struggle with is our flesh. Hey, the pride that calls in to criticize us, that same pride that we have, you know what it causes us to do? To want to lash out. We're unwilling to sit quietly and let God fight our battle. We want to fight it ourselves. If somebody's tearing us down, we feel like we should defend ourselves. Moses didn't. Moses just let God fight that battle for him. Not only do you see him letting him fight the battle, but notice what he's doing. Verse number 13. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Heal now, O God, I beseech thee. The very one that was tearing him down, you know what he's doing? He's praying for. You know how the godly way to respond to criticism is? You let God fight that battle and you pray for him. Hey, that'll get the job done. That will take care of it. But our flesh, we don't like that. We don't want to do that. And so we see the root of a critical spirit, the response to a critical spirit. But I want to close with this. What were the results of a critical spirit? Look at verse number 9. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them. Let me tell you what a critical spirit does. It angers God. God got angry because they were criticizing His man. And let me just go a step further and tell you, God gets angry when you criticize His people. We think lightly of it, and we just let our tongue say whatever, but I'm telling you, God gets angry. Notice what else it does in verse number 9. And He departed. There's a loss of God's presence. That cloud departed from off the tabernacle. You get a critical spirit among God's people. We get a critical spirit in our midst, in this congregation, where we're just attacking one another. And you know what we'll lose? We'll lose the presence of God. And the devil has destroyed church after church after church with that very thing. God's people being critical of one another. There's that bitterness that sets in. And God says, all right, I'm gone. And they never get the problem worked out. And they've lost the presence of God. Not only that, it brought open shame to the guilty. There's Miriam. Quietly thought she could just be criticized the preacher. Just going to talk to Aaron. I mean, that's all she's talking to. Now she's struck with leprosy. Miriam's worried about losing her position as a leader. And you know where she's at now? They had to cast her out of the camp. She thought what she was doing in secret. You know what? Everybody knows what she's done now. Can you not hear me? What happened to Miriam? Did you not hear what she did? Hey, she's worried about that position. Everybody knows. Let me tell you, be sure your sins will find you out. You want to be critical spirited and you think you've got your little group that nobody's going to know? God's listening. God knows. God will reveal that to the world. Here's Miriam. And look at Aaron. Aaron, I mean, their whole argument is, hey, we're just as important. Moses is taking too much authority. Notice what he's calling Moses. Look at verse number 11. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord. Hey, he wanted to be equal with Moses. He thought he was equal. What's he doing now? He's calling Moses Lord. God humbled him down, didn't he? God humbled the prideful heart of Aaron. But you know what's the saddest part out of all of it? What happened to a congregation of people? If I could say it this way, they had no dog in the fight. You know what they did? They had to sit there for 7 days, waiting on Miriam to get healed before they could travel again. Thousands of people, the spirit progress was stopped, waiting on Miriam to get right and get back. Would it not be awful for this church to just have to sit idly and make no spiritual progress because of a critical spirit in our midst? Hey, these were people, they were innocent. They weren't making accusations against Moses. They weren't doing anything. But you know what? They're suffering just the same. You know, if I come in here and I get a critical spirit toward Andy or Steve or just whoever it may be, and I get that critical spirit, you know what? This church will go nowhere until that problem's resolved. And we don't realize that. We're so quick to speak. We're so quick to want to speak our minds and let everybody know what we thought about something. Has anybody benefited from his critical spirit? Has anybody said, you know what, this was useful, this was helpful? Nobody benefited from it. All a critical spirit does is tears down. It does not promote growth. I took Brady to work with me. Taking work, everything he goes to do, I criticize him. I mean, I don't care if it's picking up trash. Son, you need to be picking up more trash. But work faster. Son, work harder. Son, I can do twice that. You need to be doing it. And I just own him. Just everything he did, I was just critical about it. You think he's going to be excited about coming to work the next day? No. You think he's going to want to build houses? No, he's going to hate it. You know, in this congregation, you know, let me say this, none of us have arrived. We're all at different spiritual levels. And when somebody's doing their absolute best, you know what the problem is? There's other people sitting over here and we're being critical. Hey, we may be way up here and they're down here spiritually, maturity-wise, so to speak. But you know what? We're being critical of them. They put forth their best effort. Let me ask you something. If somebody was critical of your children, would you not be real quick to want to defend them? Absolutely. How much more would a holy God defend that child of His that's doing their absolute best trying to serve Him? Even when everybody else is picking them apart and being critical and finding every little fault that they're doing wrong, you know what? God's watching them and God is going to defend them. And you better be careful. You better be careful for your words. Nothing ever good results from a critical spirit. Now keep in mind Deuteronomy. Moses told the children of Israel, remember what God did to Miriam. If we want to go on with God as a church, we better remember what God did to Miriam. This entire event could have been avoided if Miriam just got the pride out of her life. But instead of getting it out of her life, you know what she did? She acted on it. She attacked the man of God. And then she had to get somebody to come along with her. She had to talk. She had to get somebody else being critical. Here's the lesson. Keep the critical spirits out of our midst. You know what? God will deal with us. You got a critical spirit, God will deal with you. That's a very sobering thing to think of. This church can't go on with God if we're sitting here with a bunch of people with critical spirits on these pews. You know what we're to do? We're to love one another. Hey, I always look for the best in my boys. You know why? Because my love's right toward them. I mean, they do and other people find fault, you know what? I can always find a reason to justify it. You know what? We ought to be doing that with one another. As we're stepping out by faith serving God, instead of tearing each other down, you know what we ought to be? We ought to be the ones propping and building one another and encouraging one another to keep going. We don't need to tear each other. Listen, I can get tore down Monday through Friday. But when I come to the house of God, you know what? I need to be supported. I need to be surrounded by people that love me and want to help me. And it's no different for any of us. We do not need to let the house of God become a place to where people come in and we just tear each other apart. Because if we do that, we're not going anywhere. We will lose the presence of God and our progress as a church is going forward for the cause of Christ is done. Remember what God did to Miriam. Brother, if y'all get a song, I ask y'all to stand this evening. I ask y'all to stand, just bow your heads. You know, you may be here tonight and you may be a Miriam. You've just allowed a critical spirit in your life. You don't know how it got there, but just everything that's going on, you always find something wrong with it. Won't you come down here and repent and get right before God has to deal with you? Maybe you're an Aaron. Maybe you've just allowed somebody to influence you. Just get you caught up in what their problems were about. Won't you just come and ask God to forgive you tonight? You may be like Moses. You may be a Moses and feel like everybody's just attacking you wrongfully. Won't you come up here and ask God just give you the strength to just let Him fight that battle for you? It may be that you've had a critical spirit and its result is just as you feel like you're on the outside looking in. You feel like you're on the outside of the camp looking at what's taking place. Won't you come ask God to forgive you and get back where you belong? While they sing, if you need to come pray, you can do so.